Chapter 25. Sylvanas. Veronica heard Nathan's footsteps pacing back and forth in the foyer of Blind Bluff Manor. She stood near the window, watching a black limousine drive up the path and stop in front of the door. Since the night of Lucius's release from limbo, everything in and around the sanctuary came to a complete stop. She could barely sleep, and her appetite was close to non-existent. As far as she was aware, no one else knew about Lucius's release, and Celine wanted to keep it that way. After he ran from the cave, Anastasia followed and had tried looking for him, but his scent became lost among the vampires and demon in the city. Veronica also became intrigued with Anastasia after the fiasco. She knew exactly what thoughts the Ramunga kept hidden. They weren't normal, but it proved to her that underneath the demon persona, Anastasia still had human tendencies. A few days passed and Veronica grew impatient. Celine promised that she would keep in touch, but she'd sent no word after the night in the cave. When she finally sent word, it wasn't on the location of Lucius, but an invitation to a gathering that Kai was throwing. "She's here," Nathan announced. He walked to the front door and turned the knob. "Are you sure you want to go?" Veronica waited before nodding her head. He opened the door, standing face to face with the human limousine driver. Before she left the sanctuary, he whispered in her ear, telling her that she had nothing to worry about. She let out a sigh and closed her eyes, picturing an image of her mother in the dark, looking back at her. "This is for you, Mom," she whispered as she exited the sanctuary into the cold air. The driver followed her and made his way around to the back passenger door. She approached the limo cautiously, staring at her image in the car window. The driver opened the door, and Veronica caught a glimpse of Celine, who motioned for her to get in. She glanced back at Nathan before entering the limo. She gave him a soft smile as she climbed into the back seat. Once inside, she smelled lavender. Small wine glasses were stacked near the floor, next to the opposite door. The cushions, made of velvet material, gave the limo an elegant, almost expensive look. "It's good to see you." Celine wore a red short dress with red high heels. Her red hair sat on top of her head in a neatly formed bun. Veronica turned around and found herself looking into the eyes of an attractive male dressed in a tuxedo. Like all of the demon, his light brown eyes were pupil-free and his smooth skin lacked any blemishes. His short, dark brown hair contrasted, fooling her eyes into seeing his skin glow under the light in the limo. She felt totally underdressed. The demon male sipped on his wine in small gulps, then he smiled. "I have the pleasure of two women." His body was average, and his square face seemed too big for his body. The body of a female with ratted brown hair sat next to him, slouched in her seat with her shredded miniskirt raised high above her hips, showing her red silky underwear. Small puncture wounds covered her neck, arms, and her stomach.
"Just push her onto the floor," the demon male suggested.
The driver walked around the back end of the limo. He sat in the front seat and started the engine. The male grabbed Veronica's hand and brought it up to his mouth, kissing it.
"She's beautiful." His mouth slightly opened while he gawked at her. "She's under my protection," Celine replied.
Veronica jerked forward as the limo proceeded to move. The demon male moved aside, making enough room for her to sit. She had no choice but to sit next to the corpse.
"She must be a piece of work," he snickered and dropped her hand. "Pity. Sylvanas, I wouldn't have your driver drive all the way out here for just a meal." "Meal?" He looked at Veronica. "More like a snack to me." Celine smiled briefly. "Don't make me regret inviting you all the way out to Minneapolis for this. I wouldn't miss it for the world." The limo drove through the front gates of Blind Bluff Manor and continued down the road. Sylvanas pouted. Tanzania was getting boring anyway. It's not like it used to be. I remember when you could get a good virgin meal for half the price. You'd think the bigger the human population, the more abundant the food. He reached under his jacket and pulled out a metallic flask. But they all have diseases. Their blood is just dreadful, awful. And you can't just toss them in an alley without finding their murdered feature on the 10 o'clock news. It's called adapting. Demon in this city sure aren't adapting. It's like a Bacchanalia festival every night here with Kai leading the young demon astray. Poor bastards. He smiled. Don't get me wrong. I'll take a festival any day, but not with that inbred throwing the party. He unscrewed the lid and took a sip. And I thought the French were bad. Even the blood is horrid here. His face shriveled at the taste of the liquid. Veronica had heard about the ancient Roman festival celebrating the god of wine. Adapted from the Greeks and their festival for Dionysus, the festivals had drunken humans, letting go of their humanity and losing themselves to chaos and free will. It wasn't her area of expertise, but from Sylvanus's interest in the subject, he appeared to be fond of them. She remained quiet, watching the two demon in conversation. Like many demons she encountered in her search, she'd never heard of Sylvanus until this night. He placed the flask back into his jacket.
Why can't I find one poor soul who doesn't put crap into his or her own bloodstream?
Veronica continued to look out the tinted windows at the darkened scenery. She wanted the car ride to be as quick as possible. The car turned the corner, and the female body fell over just inches away from her feet.
Get rid of it, Celine demanded. Sylvanus chuckled, and he picked up the body, clumsily placing it on his lap. Don't give me the whole, I'm an ancient routine. It gets old. She sighed. Just get rid of it, if you say so. But we will attract the eyes of humans.
He opened his door and pushed it onto the street. Veronica heard a huge thump as the body hit the ground and rolled onto the pavement. Sylvanus closed the door and resumed his comfortable position.
There. Happy?
Celine looked back, watching the dead body roll into the bushes on the side of the road.
This isn't about being happy or what the humans will think, Sylvanus. This is about following the rules.
The dictum? Yes, I know. He said while rolling his eyes. The dictum. Everything's about the dictum to you.
He looked back at Veronica. Excuse Celine. She's very adamant about our laws. Just like her sire. He leaned back in his seat, focusing now on Celine.
So, where is Lucius? From what I heard, he hasn't been seen since his release.
Celine didn't answer.
You lost him? Already? You can't sense him?
No.
Do you think he's dead?
No, I would have felt his death, she quickly replied. He's alive, out there.
You know, my dear, Lucius is the only known demon to have been freed from limbo.
Sylvanus rubbed his hands together and thought,
there is a reason that Amenirdis decided to let him go, and it wasn't out of the goodness of her shriveled heart.
Celine positioned herself on her right side, and she gazed out at the scenery. Whatever the price, I'm willing to pay it.
He rubbed his hands together in glee. I can't wait to see what that price is. He studied Veronica. So this human is important to Lucius?
Yes, very much so. Veronica cleared her throat and decided to speak. Lucius will be there? At the gathering?
I communicated with him, but he didn't reply.
Celine answered. I don't know if he'll show up.
Why wouldn't he? Sylvanus smiled. No one misses out on a gathering. and from what I heard, Kai knows how to throw them. Sylvanas sighed. Haven't been to one of those in centuries.
I'm only bringing you because Emanertus failed to tell you about your mother, Celine said to Veronica. If what we know is true, then Kai was the last person to see your mother. I will force the information from him.
Not before I get a little private time with him. Favinus grabbed onto his lapel triumphantly. I owe that bastard a beating or two.
He placed his hand on Celine's thigh. And after I rip off his head, you can thank me later by throwing some praise my way.
Celine tilted her head. When Kai is nothing but dust and blood, then we can all rejoice.